Back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. If you want to respond to anything that you're hearing on these airwaves this morning. Joining us now, we do it every Friday. Very pleased to bring on our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I am doing great. It's another beautiful day in South Alabama.
Well, that's always good to hear. We live on the coolest place on earth, right?
That's what I like to say, and, you know, went down to the Jimmy Buffett concert last night and got to see him and just listen to him talk nostalgically about Alabama and where he grew up and all the places here on the coast. It was a great time.
That's awesome, man. Not to divert away from the pleasantries, I guess, and get into the rough and tumble world of politics. Senator, first off, a little bit about, I guess, the one that you guys got to be watching pretty closely, what's going on in Lee County. Senator Wantley getting the recount and the way he's handling it. Seems to be doing all the right things as far as what he's got to do to try to get that vote total in his favor.
Well, I think so. And, I mean, any time, you know, the election is tight, I mean, it doesn't get any tighter than that, right? One vote, you know, you start turning over rocks and seeing what you can find. You know, Tom's a fighter. Senator Wally's a good friend of mine and a really good senator and does a good job representing his district. I think it's clear you had a lot of Democrats playing in that race, and I've seen a lot of social media posts to that effect really leading up to the campaign where you had a bunch of Democrats playing in a Republican primary. And now with this contest, I think you're going to see the Republican Party making a decision on whether or not, you know, they're going to allow that to happen and allow that to impact the outcome of an election, which it clearly has done with a one vote margin here.
Yeah, well, I you know, and all these seats are coming up kind of. I know that happens from time to time where we have these contested elections and things are, you know, things kind of go into what it would seem like an overtime situation where it's decided and they got to look closely at the ballots. But we have the Alabama Republican Party has a bunch of these on the slate, a handful of races, something going on in Lauderdale County, but then Etowah County and then this Lee County situation. Do you ever remember a cycle like this?
I really don't. And those situations, I mean, from what I'm seeing, are different, right? I mean,
right.
The whole dead scenario race, you just had a registrar's just screw up. I mean, just bad. And I don't know what the solution there is, if it's a do-over during the runoff, you know, period, or what. Party's going to have to figure that out. But it's clear that the elections officials, more specifically the registrars, just absolutely dropped the ball, messed that up all over the place. And are going to have to figure out how in the world to try to make that right, not just to those candidates, but to the voters in those areas. I mean, it's just bad news. And then, again, what you've had in Senator Wiley's race is, again, a bunch of Democrats in a college town, you know, in a few boxes really impacting the outcome of this Republican primary. And I think that's something the party needs to look at, and whether or not we go back to talking about a closed primary system, you know, to keep that from happening and really maintain the integrity of the Republican primary, whether that's that's something we need to look at or not. But people got to remember, at the end of the day, these primaries are party functions, and it's a function of the party to pick their candidate, and that's what the state executive committee will be looking at with these challenges.
Something else, and we haven't talked about it too much, but the abbreviated period, right? That typically when you do reapportionment, it's done much earlier to give everybody more time to make sure that these mistakes, as it pertains to Etowah County at least, are all ironed out. But you really had a sprint to the primary from that special session where you did reapportionment. And maybe there wasn't necessarily the ability to do the quality control that we would normally do every 10 years.
I don't buy that argument, Jeff. I look at, you know, if you go through those news stories, these registrars were aware that there was a problem months ahead of the election. They had adequate time to fix it. They were certainly aware of the redistricting. They had months to fix it. I just don't buy it. I think you give bureaucrats more time, and they'll take it. I think this is just it's a screw up. Let's call it what it is, and let's figure out how to fix it. But I don't think blaming it on a compressed time frame is really a valid defense. I think they knew about it. They you know, clearly indicated that they knew about it. They just didn't get it right.
Well, fair enough. But
now it's time to fix it.
Fair enough on that. I mean, you know, you have a job, you got to do it, and it just so happens. But I guess going back and checking things and making sure it makes you also wonder this. We haven't heard about any of these other problems like Etowah County, so it could just be a matter of just straight up incompetence. But is there the possibility that maybe we just aren't aware that maybe there were some other places where lines or whatever or redistricting wasn't quite as accurate as it needed to be when it come to laying out the ballots?
You know, that's a really good question, and you don't know how many folks, you know, I think you had this issue in Etowah County too, where you had somebody that was interested in running, was told they didn't live in the district and would have run and all that kind of stuff. So you're not sure in some of these uncontested races if something like that happened. But at the same time, Jeff, I think as much scrutiny has been placed on this, as much social media, as much attention is being paid to the lines, the redistricting, elections in general, I think if this had been something that was prevalent in other parts of the state, we would have known about it. I tend to think that this Etowah County issue is a one, you know, a one and done. I don't think this is widespread throughout the rest of the state.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. Senator, getting to the let's get to some of the state things. The gentleman on from the Alabama Policy Institute, Justin Bogey. I don't know if you know him, but he was on this show, and he thinks, and I it's probably a little far-fetched, but he's at least putting it out there that before the new legislature is seated, before you go through what is inevitably the formality of the general election in a lot of these legislative seats, that Governor Ivey may look at trying to do something with gaming because she is aware of who is, you know, the members that you have now. Maybe you've got a better shot at getting something done before the new legislature comes in after the November election. Is that something that's even being rumored or discussed that you've heard?
I cannot see that as being something that the governor's contemplating doing. I mean, the governor has not been really involved in this issue. She was, she touched on it in the House right before it all fell apart last time. I don't see her pushing the issue at all. You know, she made the comment in the media a while back that was her biggest regret, was that she hadn't been able to get that done. But I haven't seen a push from her or her staff. I haven't seen any innovative, you know, proposals on how to solve this problem. I would be surprised, A, if the governor's office pushed that issue, or B, if members were really receptive to it. You know, the problems that have plagued finding a reasonable solution for this haven't gone away. They're still here, and I'm not sure that until we find, you know, some other solution to give people the ability to vote on a lottery without just a mess of other casino interests tied into it, until we get there, I just don't see it making it through the legislature with this legislature or the new one. So we've seen such little change, at least in the Senate, from previous years. I don't think the mood or the position is going to have changed a lot.
Is it just hearts and minds haven't been swayed, or is it something like, you know, every legislative session is unique and different, but the way it's portrayed a lot of times is that it's a matter of just running out of time and not having the time to do this. Do you find that maybe not to really be the case? The true case is this. That it's you know, just the votes aren't there and people just aren't convinced this is the way to go, and until we need to acknowledge that.
Well, I think that individual members find some pieces of this solution so odious that it once you get something assembled that you think everybody can get on board with, you've had to add something to it that's lost you a vote somewhere else. I wish we could just vote on a lottery and be done with it, but it's not going to happen. It's impossible. So the question is assembling some pieces so that you can get the votes that you need, and not adding things onto it that make people go, ugh, that's a bridge too far for me. So I wonder if the ability is there to do that. The pieces haven't changed. And again, to your question about is this just a timing issue, I don't think so. I think it's just a really complicated mess, and we're going to have to figure out how to deal with it, but deal with it in a different manner than we've been trying to do it so far. I feel almost like we're trying to put a puzzle together with pieces from different puzzles, and it's not going to match up, and it's not going to work, and it's not going to make the picture you want it to.
Well, to your guys' credit in the Senate, you guys have shown time and time again that you can get bills done. It's just the House is never interested in it. Now, I don't know, like, you know, the politics of the House, that's something neither one of us seem to be an expert on. But maybe hope springs eternal, because you'll have a little bit of a shakeup at the top there for sure, and that maybe makes the dynamic a little different.
Well, I'm hopeful that happens. I mean, I think Speaker McCutcheon certainly served his time, and it was a needed pendulum swing from the Hubbard days. But I think there's probably an opportunity here for some stronger, you know, direction, if you will, in the House. But, you know, the Senate, while we've passed legislation in order to get it on the ballot, I think a lot of members that voted for gaming legislation to be on the ballot would vote against the bill that they passed if it was on the ballot, and I'm one of them. I'm keen on getting the people what they want, which is the ability to vote on this. But sometimes the mess we had to put together was something that I think is probably not good public policy and something that the voters should turn down.
I mean, I people say that almost it becomes kind of, I don't know, a little too cliche at times. I'm all for giving the people the right to vote on this, and you know, that sounds good and all, but you know, there's real societal damage that can be done from gambling and gaming, and there's all of the cost, the opportunity cost, what it does that has to be considered. It would be like, you know, well, let's legalize heroin, and while I'm all for giving the people an opportunity to vote on that, you would never say that ever, because you understand there's a risk. I mean, I know these are apples and oranges sort of comparisons, but the point is, these things that you're giving people the right to vote on do have a societal impact that needs to be considered and weighed by the legislature, and that's why it's set up as such as it is.
No, no question about it. And I'll add one part to that, though, and that is, we have gaming in Alabama. We have a lot of it. Some of it's, you know, quasi-legal with local constitutional amendments. Some of it's, you know, some of it's patently illegal, and you see those stories get shut down all the time. So I'd put a little bit different twist on that and simply say, you know, if there is a societal cost to this gaming portion of it, by and large, it's already happening. We already have that right now. The question is whether or not we're going to get control of it at the state level, which I think arguably is a good thing. But then the offensive part of it to me is that you really do end up picking winners and losers of the existing gaming operations out there to try to limit gaming in Alabama, which I would argue is a good thing, while expanding the lottery part of it, which I think is fairly innocuous.
Well, into one thing here, that once and for all, the state's got to make up its mind and decide if the gaming at some of these places, be it Macon County, be it in Lowndes County, or be it in Greene County, whether or not, once and for all, that is legal or illegal, are they violating state law? And the courts have said that they have, but it's got to be actionable, right? You've got to lay the marker down. Something has to be done to stop an illegal act. And until you guys can get that kind of put away, it's going to be really tough, it seems to me, to get to get a situation where at least you guys have some of you guys in the legislature, particularly the Republican side, have leverage enough to get a deal done.
Well, and I think you've hit the nail on the head. And where we need to start with this next year is looking at the regulatory side of this, getting control over the legal and illegal gaming in Alabama, setting up the commission that does that. Start with that, and that ought to be something that Republicans and the supermajorities in both houses can coalesce around. Let's, even those that don't like gaming at all, let's get around the control of the existing gaming. Let's talk about not expanding casino gaming in Alabama. Let's talk about getting it under control. And I think if we start with that, then we stand a better chance, as opposed to these comprehensive measures that just are, you know, this conglomeration of things that end up losing more votes than they gain.
Senator, we always appreciate your time, and we will do this all over again next week.
Sounds great, Jeff. Have a great weekend.
Thanks. State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion there, as he does every Friday. Let's get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. You know it ain't so hard to say.